It is a good morning. It's so great to be here. We're thankful that God has given us this opportunity to gather together to worship. We want to make sure our visitors know that they're welcome. It's an encouragement to us that you're here, and I pray that we are an encouragement to you. And if anybody came in late after the announcements and you're noticing the shirts, right, you might be thinking, what did we step into? Right, again, like Brother Ed said, no, it's not a cult. Literally, our wives and loved ones have duped us into wearing this shirt this morning. And I thought of a way, Ed, to get them back. We're going to wear this shirt every Sunday for the next 6 months. Throwing Wednesday, every Sunday morning, Sunday evening, Wednesday, anytime we get together, we're going to be wearing this shirt. And we'll see how funny it is then. No, but it was all in good nature. And, you know, they pulled a fast one on us because they love us and we're gullible. But anyways, it's great to be here. Happy Father's Day to the fathers among us. And, you know, we're just grateful that God has given us children and some of us grandchildren. And what an honor and privilege it is to be a father and to be a grandfather. God is surely good. And I do not have a PowerPoint this morning. I do have an old one for this evening, but I finally got my computer back from getting worked on. I got it back Friday, so I'll get back to doing PowerPoints here, Lord willing, for the next week. You know, today, of course, being Father's Day, you know, it doesn't seem to carry as much importance as Mother's Day, and I'm okay with that. You know, mothers are to be honored. And, you know, normally, from my experience, when it's Father's Day, the preacher gets up, and, you know, and usually the preacher's pretty tough on the fathers and talks about, you know, the failures of men and that kind of thing, kind of harsh on the father, but we're not going to do that. We're going to do that this morning. And if you have your Bibles, you'd be opening to Luke chapter 15. We're going to be looking at a father's love this morning. And I want you to think here first, before we get started, understand this, fathers, that your children's view of God the Father is influenced by their view of you. Let me say it again. Their perspective of the Heavenly Father is through the lens of how they see you. Right? If you're cold and you're harsh and you're not involved and you're unforgiving, listen, that's going to paint their view of the Heavenly Father. It's just the way it is. But if you're kind and you're loving, firm, strong, but you're kind and you're forgiving and you're present and you're active, that is going to color their view of the Father. So do not underestimate your influence upon your children. 68 million of our nation's 94 million men don't attend church. This, in spite of the fact that 86% of them grew up with some sort of church background. Now, note this statistic also, that if the mother is faithful or comes to Christ first, there's a 17% chance that the rest of the family will follow. If it is the father, statistically, if the father is faithful, leads the family to Christ, and remains faithful, there's a 93% chance that the family will follow. You want to talk about your importance as a father? Just think of those numbers. That's the importance of fathers. You know, there's a story told about a father and son. They went fishing for the day. And they got back, and a neighbor asked the father, you know, well, how'd your fishing day go? And he said, terrible. Awful. We got there late, and we got started, put the boat in, I forgot the gas, had to go get gas, came back, we got on the water late. You know, by then, all the good fishing spots were taken. We kept tangling our lines in the weeds, and the mosquitoes were awful, and the sun was scorched. It was awful. Worst day of fishing ever. Well, the son, at the same time, was talking to one of his friends, and that friend asked him, well, how did your day go fishing with your father? He said, best day ever. Best day ever. I've got to spend the whole day with my father. Perspective, right? That's how influential fathers are in the lives of their children. Now, Luke chapter 15, you know, and I want you to think about the prodigal son. Maybe you're aware, familiar with this event here. But I want you to think here as we get started. You know, have you ever had broken or shattered dreams? Right? Have you ever wanted the best for somebody and they just seem to be on a destructive path no matter what you do? Almost seems like they don't want any help. You know, have you ever been in a situation so entangled in a situation or known of someone so entangled in a situation that it just doesn't seem like there's any way out? You ever been there? Are you there now? Do you know someone in that situation? Well, that's how the father in this text must have felt. Right? And I believe, by the way, that's how our Heavenly Father, many times, looking down on us, he must feel sometimes. And the messes that we get entangled in. You know, I know that there's not a father here that would not willingly lay down their own lives for their children. I know it. Right? And that's the way it's supposed to be, by the way. I also know that there's not a father here that hasn't blown it, messed up big time, failed, right? Fallen short before God and before our families. Right? We've all done it. You know, there's a couple babies here, new parents. You know, you're going to mess up. You're going to fall short. And that's the way it is, and we realize we're far from perfect. You know, and there's times, especially you get older. You know, you realize how bad you messed up a situation. Right? But the good news is, regardless of past failures, you can start over today. Right? I kind of want to get that out there before we start looking at this text right here. And so Luke chapter 15, beginning of verse 11. Let me just read this. And I know part of our scripture reading was in this. Just in case some people aren't familiar with this text, read it with me, beginning of verse 11. So Jesus telling a parable, right? There's three parables in this chapter. Lost sheep, lost coin. This is a lost son, also called the prodigal son. So Jesus said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me, and I want you to notice the movement in all of this, of all the individuals portrayed here. Father, give me the portions of goods that falls to me. So he divided to them his livelihood. Right? That time of that culture. So if you had two sons, the oldest son gets 2/3 of the inheritance, and the younger gets 1/3. And usually they get that inheritance only when the father dies. So almost in a way, to me, this kind of infers the younger son is kind of wishing his father was dead so he could get that inheritance. So just kind of be aware of that here. So verse 13, and not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. Prodigal just means wasteful. But when he had spent all there arose a severe famine in the land, and he began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed his swine. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, now your translation might say, came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will rise and go to my father, and I will say to him, so he practiced this speech he's going to say to his father. Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. And he arose, and he came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servant, bring out the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet. Bring the fatted calf here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. Now his older son was in the field, and he came and he drew near to the house, and he heard the music and the dancing. So he called one of his servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, your brother has come home, and because he has received him safe and sound, your father has killed the fatted calf. But he was angry and would not go in. Therefore his father came out and pleaded with him. So he answered and said to his father, lo, these many years I have been serving you. I never transgressed your commandments at any time, and yet you never gave me a young goat that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this son of yours came, who has devoured your livelihood with harlots, you killed the fatted calf for him. And he said to him, son, you are always with me, and all that I have is yours. It was right that we should make merry and be glad, for your brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and now is found. Listen, none of this here has anything to do with rationalizing away the sin or promoting disobedience. This is mainly what I want you to focus on. This is about the love of the Father. Right? And a parable is a simple story that Jesus uses to illustrate spiritual truths. Right, all three of these lost things in this chapter, lost sheep, lost coin, lost son, is about something being lost and being found, and there being great rejoicing at the return of that which was lost. And here, of course, is the son. So this is an example of an individual that made very bad life choices. Right, and then they came to their senses, right? Does any of this here so far, you know, can you relate to this? This young man here left the father's house, went to live life, you know, and a lot of people, back then, nothing news under the sun, right? I got to get away from my father's house. Right, all the fun, exciting stuff, it's out there. It's always somewhere different, right? The grass is always greener somewhere else. You ever drive down the highway where there's a lot of cattle? We live in Missouri, and I live in Texas. You see a lot more cattle, right? You got cattle in a field, and you got the barbed wire fence right there, and there's just all kinds of green, beautiful, lush pasture land, and the cow, for some reason, is sticking its head through the fence to eat the filthy grass from the ditch that's filled with trash. Why do they do that? I don't know. But we kind of do the same thing. It's always better over there. Right? We've done it. We've been there. And many of us have learned that hard lesson. You got two sons here. One stayed and one strayed. But for Father's Day, we're going to focus on what's the response of the father here. Right, and again, this does not legitimize sin or rebellion or saying somehow there's not consequences to that, because there is. But I want to highlight the father's response. and to the fathers among us, again, understand this truth. Your children's view of the Heavenly Father is going to be seen through the lens of how they see you. So look at this father's response. Your attitude is all important. Listen, you know, if we help our children develop good hearts, when they grow, more than likely, they're going to come to their senses. They're going to admit that they've been wrong, and they're going to come home. And the plea here is for you to have the heart of this Father. And I know spiritually speaking, this represents our Heavenly Father and us in our sin, going back to the Father after leaving His house. But I think the principle stands. Let me remind you of 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 10 here. Actually, let me read 9 and 10. Now I rejoice, not that you were made sorry, but that your sorrow led to repentance. For you were made sorry in a godly manner, that you might suffer loss from us in nothing. For godly sorrow produces repentance, leading to salvation, not to be regretted, but the sorrow of the world produces death. Coming to your senses is that idea of repentance. Changing the path you're on. Right? And the fact of the matter is, many times we need to be driven to our knees. Right? What do we see here about the prodigal son? Right? He was driven to his knees, literally and figuratively, a Jew feeding swine. You couldn't get lower than that. Right? And he's in that pig pen. And he's looking at the food that the pigs are eating, and he's thinking, you know what, I could eat that. He was driven to his knees. And understand this, and when you're driven to your knees, that's when God does his best work. Because it's only when we are driven to our knees that we see an absolute need for God and that we can't do this on our own. And he doesn't tell us to do it on our own. Sometimes we just need to be driven to our knees and really think about what we're talking about here in this. Really, talk about having kingdom vision, if you will, spiritual eyes as kingdom fathers, right, to love and receive the broken. Listen, you cannot evangelize and antagonize at the same time. You can't do it. Right, so we need better sit ourselves down and really think about these things. As you know, as much as most see this parable here about, you know, the change in a young man's life, and it is, you know, and about his return to the Father, right? There's another side to this. It's a story of a father that never gave up hope that his son would return. And I guarantee that he would have prayed every single night for the return of his son. Right, he already made up in his mind exactly what he was going to say, what he was going to do when he saw his son walk in. And it implies that he's on the road every day waiting for the return of his son because he saw him from a long distance. And he waited for him. He ran to his son. We see here that the son came back to the father after he came to his senses. You know, and if we find ourselves in a similar situation, by the way, two things can happen, right? We find ourselves separated from the father's house, our choice, right? I want to go out there. I want to live life. I want to do whatever, and I find myself out there. Two choices. I can either come to my senses in the midst of rebellion, or I can just ignore the situation away, rationalize it. You know, it's not so bad here in this pig pen, spiritually speaking. choice is mine. Listen, you got this kid here, he is broken. Right? He's lost everything due to his poor choices. Right? And his family and his home look better than they ever had before. He admitted his situation, said, I'm going back. Even if, you know, my father asked him if I can just be one of his servants, I'll be living better than I am right now. So he changed his course and he went home. You know, I don't know where you are this morning, but I know that at some point you need to have a moment, right? That moment that you know what needs to be done and you're willing to do it. Right? What a great example, especially for fathers, for your children. Listen, if you're far from the father's home where you're not supposed to be, listen, your children know it or they'll figure it out pretty quick. What a great example if they see you coming to your senses, going back to the father, right? And you show that humility. You want to talk about a powerful, powerful example that is. The other side, you got the father welcoming the one returning home. I want you to think about where you are this morning. Listen, if the course you're on is not working, it's time to make a change. This young man here, we see this going back to the father, realize what he's doing wasn't working. So did this young man, surely the embrace from the father, verse 20, was a welcome surprise. Right? Again, he didn't have time to recite his speech that he practiced. And, just let me be one of your servants there in verse 21. Right? What an example of God's love. Arms open, embracing us to be part of the family once again. What a wonderful, wonderful story here. So whether we are the son or the daughter that's in need of return, or parents of children that have gone astray, right? God does his best when we're at our lowest. You know, sometimes we just need to be humbled to come to our senses. You know, maybe that's where we are right now. Maybe that's where you're at right now. Sometimes, again, we just need to be driven to our knees to see God. Sometimes we need to be driven to our knees to realize how good we had it at home with God. Young man here, a Jew feeding pigs. Listen, you know, we need to be mindful that God is there. He's waiting for us. He desires to restore what rebellion has stolen. Think about this. You know, our Heavenly Father, let me just read a couple more verses here and the lesson is yours. 1 Peter chapter 5. Kind of have this in mind. We're talking about 1 Peter in our class earlier today. Think about this. Our Heavenly Father is not on his throne with a big hammer, just waiting to hammer us when we make a mistake, when we do wrong. That is not what the Bible teaches. That is not what your Bible teaches. Rather, what we see is he's wanting to draw himself to us, and we need to be willing to respond. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 and 7, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting your cares upon him, for he cares for you. That's our Heavenly Father. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. Listen, you know, a question to the fathers here today is that, is that the love and care you extend to your children? Right? Does that wayward child have an open door to be welcomed back to the family? because you, if you are a wayward child of the Lord, you have an open door back to the family of God. 2 Peter 3 and verse 9, right? The Lord is not slow concerning his promise. As some count slowness. But what's his desire? What do we read right here? He's long-suffering, right? He's long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to him in repentance. There's consequence for disobedience, absolutely. But that's not God's desire, right? He gives us every opportunity to come to our senses, to come home with a repentant heart. James 4 and verse 10, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. So this morning, here's our conclusion. I don't know where you are this morning, but I know that our Heavenly Father, who's never made a mistake like we have, he's wanting us to come home. He's wanting us to come home. So, you know, in a way, I understand I kind of tied in two lessons there. Talk about the Father and us as fathers and how we treat and deal with our children. But the bigger lesson, of course, is our Heavenly Father and how he deals with us and how he desires us to come home. So I want you to think about that. Think about this last thing we'll offer the Lord's invitation. Every Father's Day, maybe you remember, I end with this thought, and I will as long as the Lord allows me to preach every Father's Day. On the day of judgment, for those who are not prepared, you hear some of the most terrible words possible. And that is the Lord saying, depart from me, I never knew you. And then we'll be cast into eternal separation from God, eternal condemnation, hell, right? Eternal hell, weeping and gnashing of teeth, never ending eternal. Those will have to be the most painful words ever uttered, except, I would add to that, think about this, if that is you, because you did not prepare, you did not come to Christ. In those first few moments of eternity in that situation, I submit to you there's four worst words that can be uttered. Dad, is that you? Understand the massive responsibility that you have as fathers. I'm not saying that people can't be faithful without the faithful example of a father, but it helps a lot, and it's encouraging, and it lifts up the children. So think about your responsibility. This morning, to be prepared, the Bible says that you need to be immersed into Christ for the removal of your sins, baptism. You're doing that with a response of faith. You love God, choose God, you're willing to bear that cross daily. You're going to repent of your sins, right? You're going to be willing to confess Christ, and you reenact his death, burial, and resurrection in water, to rise up out of the water, to walk in newness of life. If you have not done that, listen, you are not prepared. And I love you enough to tell you the truth. Now, you may not like that answer. You might go down the road to find somewhere that'll tell you something different to fit your beliefs, but that is not what the Bible says. And I'd love to open up the Word of God and let you see for yourself. So if you're here, never obeyed the gospel, let's take care of that. Let's study that. Most important thing you can do. Maybe you've done that, but along the way you lost your way. You went to that far country spiritually. God loves you and he wants you to return and be reconciled to him. He's waiting with open arms and the hosts of heaven will rejoice as you return. If you have any need spiritually, let somebody know as we stand, as we sing.